Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
The man, it was great to see all of our teammates. It was great to see David Gruber and Stephen Watson, who were together on the course, and our other great partners. It was great to be outside. It was great to deliver old tees and Jesse's birthday presents. We had a great time at the bog. But I'm a lot more focused now back in my basement edition. What exactly do you want from a movie? What's the number one thing you want to get out of watching a movie? Because I watched a movie yesterday while I was writing my Packers linebackers preview. And I don't know if I've regretted watching a movie more. And that includes really bad movies that were just terrible edition. And I understand that there are some who do not like the media. I totally get it. I certainly saw video evidence of it with the biggest news story of the week last week. But if you have a camp and you have the media there, and everyone has been asking all offseason if you're going to get your new contract or not, and when it's going to happen... I'm not sure you could tell people that you're not allowed to ask about it. Edition. Not a great look. Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com. And the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Great to be back. Jesse Nelson is off again today. He's playing golf for a good cause. He may join us later in the program. In for him is our cousin sub of the day. Once again, is young Riley. Don't call me Rich Little or Frank Caliendo. Yauk. Riley, good morning. How are you?
I could be better. Still working on getting Tausch's stream up, so...
Strong start for you. What would Bane say about this right now? Never mind. I don't want to hear us. And from his undisclosed location while we work getting him on video, it is the Packers Hall of Famer. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What do you mean? I'm on video. I'm just by myself. I've clicked on the link that Riley sent me, and I'm sitting here. So,
well,
I don't
I'm
know
on
what
video
else I could
too.
Possibly do. Yeah, well, we're on just different video streams.
Well,
which I guess is okay.
I mean, it was one thing to be in person together yesterday and now not be, but to be on separate streams. I don't know if anyone wants to watch a Wilde exclusive channel. I think they would watch the Tausch exclusive channel. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm depressed.
What's up?
I watched Leaving Las Vegas yesterday.
Okay.
Have you ever seen that 1995 film? Nicolas Cage,
yeah,
Elizabeth Shue,
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Not Sarah Jessica Parker.
No, she's in that.
No, I don't think so. Mariska Hargitay.
I think she is.
Briefly. Nicolas Cage is going to drink himself to death. Elizabeth Shue is a escort. What are we doing here? Now, I understand I'm 29 years late on seeing this film, but it, like, we talk about Wedding Crashers on this show, right? Like, we like...
We do.
That's the kind of movie that, you know, Shooter McGavin and the crew in Billy Madison. Like, these are the things we... these are the things we watch. Why am I watching a film in which Daniel-san's girlfriend gets attacked? Like, what am I doing? Have you seen that movie years ago?
You're talking about Leaving Las Vegas?
Yeah.
I told you. I just saw it. Yeah, I saw it. It was back in the 90s I saw it, and I'm not... This isn't a Shawshank movie or Forrest Gump or Top Gun.
Yes!
I'm not going to watch it again. No, it's not. It's not one of those.
No, movies. I'm agreeing. I'm saying yes, it's not. Yes, it's not.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. So why you watch that? Why don't you put a podcast, something that might like get your mind stimulated, or is that you can't do that while you're writing?
It's generally speaking, I like to have background noise. I've worked in press boxes that are loud after games for years. I've worked in press rooms. When it's just me and the dogs, because Paula and the girls were gone yesterday after I got back from the bog, and I had to write my linebackers preview that I know you've been religiously reading on Madison.com, all the different position-by-position previews. You've watched some of the videos where you think I'm wearing the same shirt.
I saw some of the clips, yeah.
Yeah. I like to have background noise on. It's not something that I generally want to watch, but on occasion when I have the TV on, like Copa America, it will get my attention and I'll be distracted. That's my writing process.
Yeah, and, that's great.
Are you looking for something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, keep going. I'm listening. I like a little background noise with my Wildy, so that works.
Maybe I'm the background noise if we're being more realistic. So sometimes what I have on will get my attention. I'll watch some of it, and then I'll get back to writing. That was the most depressing movie I've ever seen, and that includes Titanic, which I knew, you know, was going to end sadly, but at least, you know, her heart goes on, and she lives this life full of doing things and accomplishing things and all the good stuff that they put it. Like, I can't do depressing. Like, I want to be moved. I'm okay if I cry during a movie at some point, but a guy who's going to drink himself to death and Elizabeth Shue. Look, if Elizabeth Shue wasn't in it, I probably wouldn't have watched it at all. But again, my teenage
Why, is it
crush.
You had a crush. You had a little crush. Ba- on
yeah.
Her, huh?
From first
babysitting movie.
First Adventures in Babysitting, The Karate Kid, etc., etc. Yes, loved her as a teenager myself. So that was the only reason I left it on. I would have just kept going as I flipped
Tiffany
through
Amber
cable.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen was kind of mine.
Okay, so Tiffany. Put Tiffany Amber Thiessen in that movie, and you're leaving with a less than stellar feeling about it too. Like, ugh.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I think from a movie standpoint, it's. I think you want to laugh, or you really want to be thought provoked, entertained. I don't know. Does that if that movie doesn't entertain you at all?
It didn't.
So why are you watching it?
Like,
there's other stuff to flip.
I had never seen it. I don't know why it would randomly have been on HBO yesterday, like 5:15. So I left it on because of my nostalgia for Elizabeth Shue. And I'm not sure I felt any worse after a movie, including like movies that are just really horrible, like just poorly acted, poorly written.
Sure.
Like this was, no, I want happy endings and I want to laugh more than anything. Like dramatic films, fine, I don't have to laugh, but I want to at least have a happy ending in the story. That's all I'm asking for.
Pearl Harbor.
Like Pearl Harbor, Armageddon. Sure. Armageddon. Yeah. You know, Bruce Willis dies, but everybody else makes it back. They blow up the asteroid. Everybody's fine on Earth.
Yep,
like,
I just wins.
You know, not everybody has to live happily ever after in the film. They can kill off characters. But in the end, I just want to be happy. And in the end, I just want Jordan Love to be happy. How's that for a segue? Tausch, you are now a member of the media, whether you like it or not. I know you like to refer to yourself as an analyst.
That's what I do. I analyze the media, too.
And you opine. You're an opinion person, too. You have an opinion.
I like giving opinions.
Prognosticator. Yep, prize picker.
I like to predict. I do. Tough one last night. WNBA is not my jam.
I was going to say, what exactly did you play?
Well, I had a dabble because of that Kiko Alonso free.
Sure.
Not free. Home 0.5. Run.
Yeah.
Yes. That was a winner. But then I don't know what the heck I'm thinking. I don't know anything about the WNBA. Other than Caitlin Clark is no. Anybody that doesn't vote for Caitlin Clark for Rookie of the Year is a complete idiot. Now, other than that, I don't know anything about the dub. As we like,
as demonstrated by your picks yesterday, clearly. Well, I admire you for getting involved with it, but those are all the things you like to do. Those are all the things you're generally good at. I don't know what your interviewing history is.
Do you have a favorite pen? Do you have a favorite pen?
So let me get this straight. So I come with a topic. You didn't really have any interest in it, as is often the case.
Reinforcing the reality that I just shouldn't bother. I did
and
have
now,
interest.
And now, no. And now I come with this movie thing. I'm thinking this is really good. Like, we can talk about Wedding Crashers and all the great funny movies we've seen. And I get nothing. I go to Segway, and your next topic is, do you have a favorite pen? That's
well,
what happened
off,
here today.
Your topic on the movies, you need to roll with that. I don't know where you wanted to go, so I didn't fully understand. Okay? And you asked me what I like for a movie.
What
I want to laugh,
want
and I
want
to be moved.
From a movie? I thought the question was pretty clear.
I gave you a great answer, but I have a pen that I like doing my show with. It's a great thick pen with a really nice little deal. And it's been strong. And I don't have a ton of stuff that I'm like, I have to keep this. Like, if something goes. Okay, great.
Uh-huh.
This is one of those things. I get down here, I'm getting ready for the show. Nothing. And then all of a sudden I go to look. I've had some camera issues with the laptop and things like that. So I go, and the pen's gone. And I don't know why the pen would be gone. I'm the only one that uses this pen. And it's the third time this pen has been gone. So, I have a favorite pen, the Loutrel, beautiful pen. I think I stole it from a hotel. And
wait, is that the name of the hotel,
I
or is that the name of the pen?
That's actually a good question. I don't know. If there was a movie about a pen that the pen told the story, that's a movie you should write, Jason. You have a favorite pen that you wrote all your stories on, and just that pen tells the story from the pen's point of view, I'd watch that. I wouldn't watch it twice, but I'd watch it once.
Somewhere there's a reference to Lloyd Dobler and Say Anything, in which he says, I gave her my heart, she gave me a pen. And that ties it all together with movies, because that's a great film, with, I believe, a happy ending. All right, so...
Yeah, I just... So, Jason, help me out here, because I appreciate... I just want to make sure you know. I appreciate and love when you bring
no,
topics.
No,
sometimes
you don't.
They don't
no,
go, no, I do.
No, you don't.
But so, what do you want? I don't know what you want
welcome,
from me.
All right. Welcome to my world, okay? Because as evidenced just now, I never know what the hell is coming at me, okay? Never.
That's true.
Okay. And I have to be ready to dance and jive and jump and twist and turn and joust. Whatever you throw
with
at me,
gallbladder
I gotta be ready.
Stones. With gallbladder stones.
I'm fine. But
anything pass?
So
it doesn't pass like a kidney stone, right? You don't have to like.
I'm told they dissolve for me. So they dissolved, so I'm fine. But
okay.
I never know what's coming. I have to figure out, okay, this is what he's asking. How do I? Here we go. Boom, 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 boom. We're all good. I don't expect you to do that all the time, but on occasion, like, take it whichever way you want, but don't just not take it anywhere.
That's all. I did. I answered your question. I didn't know you have to kind of drive where that's going. I wanted that to be great. I just didn't know where to take it. I didn't.
You didn't. There are so many ways you could have gone. You watched the movie just because Elizabeth Shue is in it? I mean,
that's what I said. Then I brought Tiffany Amber Thiessen up, and then you're like, oh, yeah, well, then you know what that means.
Okay. Oh, so no, it's my fault that went nowhere. All right. Well, I look forward to breaking this down on the audio film later. All right. I do want to get to this Jordan Love thing. So those of you who missed it, Stephanie Sutton from WISN 12 in Milwaukee. Jordan Love did a camp yesterday in Milwaukee, and afterward he did a media gathering. I was not there. I was at the Bog, and then I came home to be depressed by watching Leaving Las Vegas. But Stephanie was there among a bunch of other reporters, and apparently they said beforehand that they only wanted questions about the camp, which, having done this for 29 seasons here,
it's not how it works.
It ain't how it works there, Chief. So Stephanie, who asks lots of good questions. She sometimes, at like the Aaron Rodgers gaggle throughout the years, would ask kind of questions about what the news of the day was and get Aaron's reaction to that, which I think sometimes caught him off guard. This was not the kind of question that should catch you off guard. You're reporting to training camp today, and I was told that he was reporting today. He was not skipping the report date. Whether or not he practices on Monday is another discussion. But you have to know that you can't tell people we're only talking about the camp when the thing hanging over the entire offseason has been his contract situation and whether he's going to get the extension, how much it's going to be worth. And you have to be prepared for that question to come. I thought what happened yesterday was not a great look. I'm not sure it was Jordan's fault. I think it was more likely his handler's fault, but I didn't like it. And I want to play that and talk about that coming up next after I come up with a Las Vegas-related dad joke for Tausch's Pella Read.
All right. Well, it's time. What do you got? What's your Las Vegas dad joke?
Wait a minute. You don't even start now?
What do you want me to say? You know I love Pella Windows and Doors, and here's Jason with another bad dad joke. Like, yeah, Jason, how was that movie? Why is it a bad? Give me a bad dad joke.
You're such a jerk. What did one potato chip say to the other one?
Let's split.
Let's go for a dip.
Oh, Shade and Bake. Shade and Bake. I like that one. I love that dad joke, but my mind is on windows because Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin has a fantastic deal going on right now. Pay as low as $18 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Pella completes the installation. No mess, no hassle. And that's a pretty good dad joke, leaving nothing but perfect results behind. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on the 31st of July. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
Tausch has his favorite pen. I have been doing some research.
What was Nicolas Cage drinking? Like, what was his?
He was drinking vodka. He was drinking everything. There's a scene where he like goes through the liquor store and he's like dancing as he goes by all the different alcohol. Like, it's
just because that made him happy.
I would have preferred.
So Elizabeth Shue fell in love with him, or he was in love with her?
No, she fell in love with him. And she could not stop him from drinking himself to death. And
why
then
was she in love with him before he was a raging alcoholic?
No, he gets fired. He moves to Las Vegas in a crappy hotel to drink himself to death. That is why he is gone.
Oh, and she was an escort.
Indeed.
You said she was an escort.
Indeed, yes.
Oh.
I'm glad I could catch you up on the plot line.
Now that I understand.
It's too late now.
No, quick question. Quick question. Can there ever be a more famous movie escort than Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman, though? Like, I don't think
it is. I would say it is pretty hard to top that. Yes, I don't know how many other films are in that genre.
I don't even know who's that Mount Rushmore of
movie escorts.
Yeah. Well, I think you have two of them.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate your efforts now to turn this into what is the Mount Rushmore of hookers in movies. But unfortunately, we're going to get to Jordan Love.
Well,
and we're going to talk about that situation.
You're asking me where I wanted to go with it. I didn't think that was appropriate, but here I am. So I think Jesse Spano in that movie
Showgirls,
that she was a dancer.
I think there's a difference. It may be a fine line, but nevertheless, I don't know. I've never seen Showgirls.
Who are we forgetting about on that?
So what I
have got to be some people we're forgetting.
What I have felt better watching Showgirls than watching Leaving Las Vegas is the question I have.
That is such a bad movie.
I understand it's a terrible movie.
I think Leaving Las Vegas won Academy Awards back in the day.
So did The Shape of Water, right? So who knows?
So I was thinking, what was the one where Sarah Jessica Parker married Nick Cage?
I'm sorry, married who?
Not Nick. Did she marry Nick Cage or Joseph Kahn? You remember the old guy?
James Kahn.
Yeah. Which one of those did she marry Nick Cage? Was it? She was married to Nick Cage and she was with Nick Kahn or Joseph Kahn?
I will fact check that in between looking up these ballpoint pens that you love so much to figure out if it's the name of the hotel or if that's a brand name.
The name of the hotel. It's 100% the name of the hotel.
We will work on both those topics, but I want to get to this Jordan Love thing because I'm curious how Packers fans feel, because I understand that the media is not your favorite group of individuals for a lot of folks. I want to talk about that, and we'll do that next. It's Will Dean Tausch. Times in my life when I just wonder, how does this happen? And again, I say this behind his back all the time, but the dude's a genius. He just is. Now, would I have appreciated this coming to him sooner? Maybe.
Yeah.
But the Mount Rushmore of actresses who played prostitutes in films, there's an alarming number of them.
See, and it's funny. I'm talking at a youngster in between breaks here, and he's telling me he doesn't know any of these because he's 20-some-odd years old.
22?
The only
23.
One that I think can give Julia a even run for her money, and Julia is the goat of goats when it comes to this. I don't know if anybody's going to catch her, okay? She would be like Jordan, right? She's Michael Jordan when it comes to movie prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Lee Curtis, because of how that movie played out, I think she is nipping right at her heels. I do.
So one of the all-time classic.
Spano, I don't think Spano's making this, Jason. I don't think Jesse Spano is going
to
make it.
I will have to fact check on whether she's just a dancer or if
it's called Showgirls. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if she participated in the activities that these other actresses theoretically would have participated in.
Okay.
Apparently, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Next time it's a rainy day, I'll make sure to watch it and do some research.
Yeah, thank you for your service in advance. Make sure the kids aren't home. Breakfast at Tiffany's. Apparently, Audrey Hepburn is an escort at the beginning of the film.
Is that right?
That's what I'm reading here. I've never seen Breakfast at Tiffany's. I've heard the song.
Great song. Really good song.
Yeah. On this list, in addition to the ones we've mentioned, Kim Basinger in L.A. Confidential.
Okay.
Charlize Theron in Monster, where she's apparently a prostitute turned serial killer. That sounds like a happy film. I got to put that in my queue on Netflix.
Okay.
Jane Fonda played one at one point. But
Jane Fonda?
Yes, again, in a movie called Clute. I don't know that one. So we have Brian Bulaga scheduled to appear. We are now 30 minutes into the program. Jordan Love spoke yesterday, and we really didn't get to it, so we're going to get to it with Brian Bulaga. That's on me. Again, I tried. I feel like Bart Simpson with that cake that says, at least you tried, and then he drops it in the garbage can in that gif. That's how I feel today. But we do have Brian Bulaga. He is going to join us coming up. Every week he joins us on Wednesday, so we love having him on the program. He is scheduled to appear coming up. We will ask him for his favorite fictional prostitutes, or at least about football. We'll do that next. It's Will Dietausch.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
You know what that music means? It's time to talk to our famous friend.
Uh-oh. Guns out. Tank City. What do we got? Big Blue. Look at him.
Also, we had Molly in the studio, too, that we had for a video clip for a minute there?
I just saw a picture of Blue looking like he just got done deadlifting a truck.
Is that true, Brian? Are you working on the farm? What do you got going on today?
Him.
Oh!
Holy cats!
Can you give us a flex,
what a specimen. Wow.
Yeah, I'm out cutting grass today, doing a little yard work. So, yeah, I'm working a little bit.
I love it.
Trying to get some sun. You know what I mean?
Farmer tan. Yeah, love it. You are a farmer now, or at least starting to become one, and you've gotten the awards to prove it. All right. Here's what we're going to do, because we need to get to this Jordan Love piece, and I want to get your thoughts on it as well. I don't want you to. I'm sure you'll have more thoughts when you join the Homer Hour tomorrow on it, but Riley is going to play the clip when he's ready. And to give you the background, in case those that are listening have not heard this before or haven't heard about this, Jordan Love did a camp yesterday in Milwaukee. Media was invited to it. Now, Brian Bulaga is a former Tom Mulhern Award winner, even though there were times when I'm sure he didn't enjoy talking to us either. But it's part of the gig. And I want to get two former players' views on this, because you obviously know that the reporter is going to have a biased view of what should have happened. So, Stephanie Sutton from WISN-TV, Channel 12 in Milwaukee, is among the reporters there. Apparently, they have been told ahead of time, do not ask any questions about training camp or his contract situation. For the record, I would have ignored that directive as well. I might have asked a slightly more pointed question that wouldn't have been quite as easy, and I probably would have gotten the same response, but I applaud Stephanie for asking this. Here is that exchange yesterday.
Brian Gutekunst says he hopes to have a contract extension done with you before the start of camp. No, do you wish the same?
Sorry, nope.
All right.
That's it.
All right. Sorry, Thank you, guys.
Brian Gutekunst says he...
And that's it. We're done. We cut it off. That was the end of the media availability. That is the last image that comes out of the camp. Brian Bulaga, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, good for her for asking. You know, I give her props for giving it a run. I don't know. That sounds like they are close. Like, it sounds like they aren't close.
That is exactly... All right, so let me give a little bit of context from a reporter's perspective, and then I'm going to let you guys take over, okay? Because for me, I don't think this. We're like children, right? Like, you tell us not to do something, and there's a good chance we're going to do it anyway, right? That's just a default setting with reporters. Secondly, there is a way to be prepared for this, so you have a stock answer that doesn't say anything one way or the other, right? There is an easy way to handle this. Third, you both played for Mike McCarthy. One of the tenets he always had was don't say anything that's going to create questions for other people. This would be a variation of that, is don't do something that's going to create more questions, right? And what you just responded, you are the best, because this is exactly what I was driving at. By handling it the way that was handled, now you've got everybody interpreting what it means. Well, why won't he take questions on it? What does it mean? Jeez. Does it mean, does it mean here, they're Blue? Not close?
No, it's echoey in this room. And where I normally do this program for when I'm out here, my kids were here and Abby were here and they were making tons of noise. So I went up into this echo chamber and now I'm getting back down to reality a little bit. So, I'm moving. I'm making a positive change for the program.
Okay.
We appreciate it. Good. Oh my gosh. It's almost like being on Zillow and taking like a virtual tour of the farm. All right.
Yeah.
So, I would just say, and I texted with a couple of people that I know in the league that work in PR, and they were all in agreement. This was not what you were looking for. It is much easier to just diffuse it by A, not saying that you won't talk about it, and B, when the question comes, just gracefully saying something to the effect of, look, it's a process. They want me. I want to be here. It's going to take a while. I don't know what the timeline is. I want to be a Packer. I think they want me. Some sort of canned answer that gets you past this, that is not, no, we're done. And then that's your final conversation with media. You guys, I have annoyed you, in Tausch's case, for more than 20 years. Brian, for almost 15. How do you view this situation? And Brian, you could continue your thought, because this is what I thought was going to happen. Now people are interpreting what it means.
Yeah, it to me seems, with that answer, and I don't know if those were his agents or management next to, I don't know who was.
Not Packers PR, I can tell you that. It was not a member of the Packers PR staff.
Yeah, so to me, that must have been some of his representation. I would imagine that was at that event with him. And the way they were extremely dismissive and quick with it makes me believe they're not close. Because if they're not close, or if they are close, I'm sorry, like you said, he's got a little prepared answer for it already, right? He's going, hey, we're close. We're, you know, we feel like we're on the right track with this thing. It just, you know, a couple, you know, hopefully before camp or during camp that we'll close that gap and we'll get this thing done. It was very dismissive, like, no, don't even want to hear about it, don't want to hear, no, and he walks out. To me, that's, that makes me a little more discouraged than I was the other day, talking with Strofe about it on the Homer Hour, because to me, how dismissive it was and how quick isn't a good sign. Because I know for me personally, if I was getting close to a deal and I knew we were on the same page, we were maybe a little bit off here or there, I'd have a lot more prepared answer for it than what that was. And I get it. He's at his charity event or whatever it may be, and he wants to keep it about the event. But, man, like, you know this is – someone's going to ask the question regardless. So if you were that close and you knew something was getting done, I would assume that there would be a little bit of a prepared statement ready in there. Clearly from that was not.
Tausch?
Yeah, So here's the deal, man. Everybody knows there's a trade-off with you do these things. You're going to come out, and I'm sure Stephanie didn't really want to go to a football camp at 9 a.m. on a week before training camp starts, but they're going out there and the media is promoting this event. Jordan's doing a great job out in the community. All the stuff that I think it's a win-win, but you have to then play the game. And the game is you're coming out there so you can get a snippet. You're not going to be, you know, it's great that Jordan's out there. I think there's 600 kids. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Great job by everybody involved. You got to throw them a bone. And this isn't hard. Like, Jordan could have just said, hey, man, I appreciate that question. We already said that we're not going to do this, but I'll just say this. We are working very hard. It's a complicated deal, and we're going to hopefully work our best that we'll get something done here before the season starts. As far as the process goes, my agents and that team has it. I'm about football. It's, you know, it's that time of the year, and I'm ready to go. Boom, you're done. And I hadn't even really thought of it. I was just thinking really dumb PR is what I honestly was thinking by his team. That was what I thought, because you really don't think somebody is going to – if the press is worth a lick, they're going to ask something about it because people are interested. And the press, while they love promoting great stories, it's the secondary piece to this. Their business is let's get some interesting stuff. You can do both. That's the trade-off. You know that. Or don't invite the press. Make it a closed camp. It's pretty easy, right? So when Blue just said that, I thought, why didn't I think of that? Why wasn't I thinking that this is because – and then Adam Schefter joins Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Don't think a deal's going to get done before Monday. And I've been – and Blue, I don't know if you felt this way. I thought this whole time, all right, they're on vacation. They're not going to be that far off. It's going to be – I think it's going to be probably a more APY than what Joe Burrow got, but about the same guarantees as Trevor Lawrence. That's where I thought this would come. Both sides want to get it done. And now, for the first time, after just hearing that and how yesterday played and all the other stuff, maybe that's the first time I'm kind of thinking this might be Jordan Love has to report to camp, and he's going to be playing for $11 million during training camp. And I didn't think that was even going to be a possibility until this last two or three days.
Yeah, it makes me a little nervous about it. It really does. Because, like, I mean, everything you said about what he could have said and how it probably should have been handled is 100% correct, right? Like, and when you have an event that Jason's probably gone to a bunch of these, there is a trade-off, right? Like, you got to give the media something when they're – pretty much promoting your event for free. You know what I mean? Like and you have to expect it's going to happen, but I think they're farther off than what we think. And I'm not sure where Green Bay's coming in at. And he clearly has a number in mind and his team has a number in mind that they want. And I don't know if Green Bay's near it, and it makes me a little nervous. So I'll just put it that way. Cause
so Blue,
listen, if I'm a quarterback that's about to get $55 million, right? And you know that pretty much all the groundwork is done on this deal. They're ironing out details. You're a lot more chipper and willing to answer that question in a little more lighthearted manner. Like you said, hey, I know we said we're not talking about any contract, but we're working hard. You know what I mean? That would be the answer I would give if I was about to get $55 million a year. I'd be a little more excited about it. And there was no excitement about it. We'll just put it that way. So, yeah. Okay. That's, a little nerve-wracking.
So what happens then? But okay, Blue, I think if your assessment of this is on point, and the more I'm starting to see it and think about it, that very well could be the case. I still don't see Jordan Love using the power play move of not practicing. Like, quarterbacks are different. Do you think that he would do that if they're far enough apart? And let's just say the Packers are like, you know what, Jordan? We're thinking more Daniel Jones than we're thinking Joe Burrow. Which, Green Bay, they're right. They can do that. Does Jordan Love have the stones to say, if that's how you view it, you don't value me, I'm not going to risk myself and go out and play in preseason
Brandon
games and come
Ayukit.
To camp? Brandon Ayukit. Do you think that he's got – I just don't know if he's got the cachet built to do that. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I don't think he's I don't think he's going to do that. I don't think he really – and it's not that he doesn't have the stones to do it. Like, that's not what – that's certainly not what I'm saying. I just don't think right now in his career he's built that way to do that yet. Like, right? Like, I just don't think he's there yet in his
and
in
the
his
Packers
career to
know
be able
that.
To, oh, yeah, they know that. Like, if this was his third year starting and they were trying to do this, oh, boy, ain't showing up for camp. Like, and that's just the way it's going to go. I mean, he's a veteran. He's been playing at a high level, and they're refusing to give him the contract that's in line with quarterbacks getting the contracts in today's league. Yeah, I'd be upset about that too, because that's telling me that my team, even say he's putting up these same numbers, doesn't believe that this is real. Like, they're not trusting in it. And I don't think Green Bay doesn't trust in him. I think they do. I think they love the guy. I think they believe in him. Clearly they do. But I just think that there's a gap that in valuation that they see that he sees. But I still see him showing up to camp and participating. Will he may not participate in preseason games like that he did last year and that LaFleur may want him to do? Potentially. That may potentially be a thing that if a deal's not done that he says, hey, I'll do practices, but if you want the ones to roll out there during preseason games, I am not doing that. There right. is no way. And that could be a thing.
So there's a couple things I want to touch on here, and then we'll move on. One, I understand how, again, a segment of whether it's the Packers fan base or society in general feels about the media. All right, I know there are some of you that just don't like us. Okay, I get it. I saw the aftermath of the assassination attempt on President Trump, and as they show the video of him getting into the car to be whisked away, there are people in the foreground shouting the F word at the media and giving them the finger, right? So I get it. There are people that don't like us. So that's fine. That's fine. It is our job, though, to be the conduit when it comes to football, because that's not nearly as important as all the other things that media cover. But we are the conduit to the fans. And Stephanie Sutton did her job and did it well yesterday, because fans want to know. This is what fans care about. I had contract talk fatigue because it was the same conversation all the time. And when I was bringing up the possibility that this doesn't get done and that he faces a decision on what he's going to do as camp opens, there were those that called me a Chicken Little and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, which is, again, fine. You're entitled to your opinion. But Stephanie asked the first question, and had I been there yesterday, and I would, my follow up is,
you don't follow up. Everybody knows you're not a follow up.
I don't follow up when people use the word immunized, but most otherwise I use follow ups. The follow up is, if it's not done by Monday, are you practicing?
great question.
Yes or no?
Thank you, Riley.
Right? Yes or no?
Yeah, that would be a great question. I'm shocked someone didn't.
Well, and I understand why their mentality, if you're not in public relations, is we're just not going to allow questions for it. That is an unrealistic plan. If you put that
don't
in as your plan,
there, just
it's
don't
not
have
work.
The media, or just bring some state-sponsored media with you. They're just going to ask you
just
about
have
Little Johnny.
There,
and,
yes.
No, Little Johnny. Boy, Little Johnny ran a great out route, and you made a nice throw to him. Oh, Johnny's good. He's good out of the breaks. Good talent. If that's what you want to do, great. But you can't have Stephanie and Lance Allen and all the other folks that are coming down there and expect them to not ask questions. It's just not viable.
Right. And again, Stephanie deserves credit, because I don't know who else was there, but she was the one that had the guts to disobey the order, if you will, and ask the question. But Brian hit on it from his first reaction. By handling it the way they did, they have now opened the can of worms of interpreting it. I joked about this a couple weeks ago when we were talking to Jordan Love at his locker, and he was shutting down questions about it. And how you talked to five different reporters that were there, and they all had different interpretations of what it meant. Oh, they're close. He doesn't want to say anything. Oh, they're not close, and he's ticked off about it. Now you've opened that can of worms again.
And that's where we stand. And the fact that today is the reporting date, and I think Bill Huber was the first one to report it. I was told this yesterday as well. Jordan Love is reporting today. So he is reporting with the quarterbacks and the rookies today. They do not start practicing, though, until Monday. And now the question becomes, if the deal's not done by Monday, then what? And that was going to be the question regardless, right? If there was not some sort of fun Saturday contract ceremony and the big picture of him smiling with Tausch's favorite pen in the Lombardi boardroom signing his contract, we were going to wonder, is he going to participate? Now we've only ramped that up, and we've ramped it up a few days
earlier. Do you think that they wisely utilize the media to make sure the Packers know we ain't happy about it? And the reaction that Blue gave is, if you don't get your blank together and get this thing more in alignment with what is going to be fair, we're not going to just sit back and be your patsy.
Right.
So I think that might have been part of this.
So my gut feeling on this has always been, the test will be, and Blue hit on it, does he have the guts to not practice? Brandon Ayuk, who was drafted one pick in front of him, is scheduled to make $14.124 million this year on the fifth-year option. Right? That's the wide receiver fifth-year option. Again, Jordan Love scheduled to make $11 million, which is about, what, 20% of what he could be making just in a guaranteed signing bonus alone. This is a huge amount of money different between what he's supposed to play for and what he could be getting in a big contract. It ain't show friends. It's show business. He has to look
Great
out
line.
For himself.
Was that in...
No, was that was
that
not
in Jesse
Leaving
Spano's
Las Vegas.
Stripper movie?
That was in Jerry Maguire, which is a happy movie. You know, that's what I like, is happy movies. But he has to look out for himself. And I've said this repeatedly. You guys know this. In this situation, his teammates have his back. They are supportive. 100%. If he's not going to practice, they're fine with that. They're not going to be mad at him for it. So, again, does he have the fortitude to say, everyone thinks I'm a nice guy, everybody likes my personality, I have to be a jerk about this to get what I deserve? That, to me, is the biggest question. Because his personality, we're not asking that question about Aaron Rodgers if he's in that situation, right? We're not asking that.
Jeez.
We're not. We're not. We're asking about
wrong.
Jordan Love.
You ain't
where
wrong.
He's at
just
right now.
Very blunt. That's a very blunt will right there.
And also, I wasn't there Aaron's entire time. Aaron was never put in that position, right? I mean, it was never something he had to actually deal with, because he'd have 3 years left on his deal. They'd rip it up and give him more money. I mean, it was just like no-brainer. So he was never even put in a situation to hold, not or show up to camp and not participate in a practice, right?
At least not until 2021.
Yeah. Well, he got a lot of money, though. he got paid a lot of money.
All right, we will shift gears with Brian Bulaga, who we are thrilled that he is here in his muscle shirt on his farm to spend extra time with us. Tausch, real quickly, I'm guessing that once Brian is done with his farming, he'll be cracking open a Coors Light or two in his muscle shirt.
Oh, you get done with them donkeys and the oranges and the putting up fence posts and just doing manly stuff. Crack open a Coors Light after a long, hard day. Out on your porch swing with that silver bullet. You know Blues can. It's going to be cold activated. The mountains will be blue. It'll be chilled to perfection in that Florida heat. That's why it'll be Coors Light in my head. I'm going to drink one with him in Wisconsin just to make sure to in unison with Blue. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company. A Golden, Colorado.
As is often the case, we'd normally be at the end of the 10 o'clock hour. Instead, we're just at halftime with Brian Bulaga. More with Blue on the other side. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our ground is second to none. You might
continuing with Brian Bulaga. Got a note from Stephanie Sutton, who's listening to our program. She added that Love eventually did say news to come. Now, again, that news could be a contract is done. That news could be Jordan Love's not practicing on Monday. But again, he is.
What did Stephanie text Stephanie back and ask her? What did she think? Did she think like blue?
What did you think? Chew.
Maybe Chewy thinks that he's going to sign an extension. Let's just put words in Chewy's mouth.
All right, that's what we do best here. All right, we'll see what she has to say. Let's move on, as Brian Gumbel likes to say. Brian, the camp is starting on Monday. What are you paying close attention to here? What is, other than Jordan Love, you are a big Zach Tom.
He's gonna say Zach Tom.
You're a big Zach Tom stan. Boy, we're doing it again with the sentence finishing thing. Is his availability at the top of your list, or what's on your list?
I mean, yeah, that's important, but I can probably answer that question and say he's not going to be available early on in camp.
Agreed.
I guess it's a question, but it's really not, because I know how Flea and those guys operate. I know how Doc McKenzie operates. I know how LaFleur is going to operate. They're going to shut him down till as close as they can until they need to start getting game ready. So what's the point of risking him right now in camp when you can give him all this extra time to heal, strengthen, kind of start putting it through some, I guess, more rigorous testing with, you know, live bodies, not like defensive linemen, but other offensive linemen and individual drills, if he gets to that point, and slowly ease him back in. I mean, I don't think there's any point to throw him back in right away. So I know that's already going to be the case. If he somehow is starting day one in training camp, I will be shocked. I will be a little confused. It won't make a bunch of sense to me, but
why?
I'm not Zach Tom, and I'm
why? Why does that not make sense?
After a surgery that happened in April, what's the point of having him go out there in July and start practicing right away? Like, there, it just doesn't. It doesn't make any sense, especially with a pec, because I've seen guys that have torn the pec that have struggled coming back from it. Then they've come back from it too quick and they've restrained it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you restrain it, now you're setting them back another, you know, 5-6 weeks, and now he's on the sideline again. So you might as well just give him all the time he can possibly get to get it settled, get confident in it, and build up all this extra time in the weight room and doing things that he can to get it ready. I think the other thing that I'm most looking forward to is hearing you guys, when you're at camp, talk about this defense and what it looks like with pads on. What does it look like when they're actually going and it's not just helmets and shorts? I think that's my biggest thing that I want to see is how the defense looks early on and where are guys playing positionally. Like, where does Van Ness line up in third down? Is he on the edge? Is he kicked inside? Is Kenny playing the three tech? Is he playing the shade? Like, there's a lot of things that I'm interested in, and obviously how the defensive backs look. I think especially Stokes, more particularly, how is he looking early in camp?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I the Jordan Love story obviously is a big story. Obviously, I'm a Zach Tom fan, so I'm obviously that's something I pay attention to. But I feel good about the offense. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I guess you could say, how does Jacobs fit in to that Aaron Jones role of coming out of the backfield and being a wide receiver weapon is another thing you could look at and see how he's being utilized besides just getting handoffs. But to me, the story is the defense and how quick does this group come around to a new system, a new scheme, a new coach, a whole new mentality of how to play defense. And I think to me, that's the story for me coming into training camp is how do they look?
Yeah, Blue, so with that, how much are you going to show? Are you just going to do your base stuff? Because I know I've been very critical of not having practices open to the public and letting the fans come in. And, you know, obviously, if they're putting some stuff in for Philly, I don't want anyone seeing it. But how much are you going to in the preseason? Because you have now a bunch of guys that are buying into what's happening. And you want to see success so that these guys look at it and say, this cat knows what he's doing. So how much are you going to let, if you're Halfley, how much are you going to say, all right, I'm going to show some stuff here because I want Kenny to feel, man, this is going to open up here if I bring this backer off this edge. And that, how much are you going to show if you're Jeff Halfley to not only Matt LaFleur's offense, but also any of these preseason games that you're going to be watching?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I think they're going to open it up against the offense in practice. I think that'll be something that is, which is why I'm really, that's why I told Jason when he goes to camp to really watch that, because that's when it's going to open up and he's going to show things. It was always that way in training camp. I mean, Tausch, you remember, the defense showed way more than, you know, than what they showed in preseason games. They just did. And even with the fans there, like, if someone's, I mean, Jason, we talked about this the other day. Like, I don't think anyone's going to pick up anything in training camp that Philly will be able to read in an article that's going to help them out.
Certainly not
one.
Me.
I just, that's well, like, sure. I just don't see it happening. Now, in preseason games, he may get a little exotic here and there, but nothing crazy. I don't see him going crazy with anything. I think they're going to play base defense. And if you look at this scheme, that's what it is. It's base defense. They do the four rush. There's two linebackers. A safety flies down in the box when it's running. If not, he's bailing out to the other third, and they're playing cover three behind it. Like, it's the defense isn't exotic in its purest state. It just isn't. Yeah, there's pressures in every defense. Yeah, there's things they can do and change things up. But if you're looking at what they do and the way this defense lines up, there's nothing special about it. You know where guys are. It's the mentality of the defense and the attacking nature of it that makes it tough to block and tough to beat and how they do things. So I don't think that Halfley's going to be technically giving anything away in training camp, because he's a new D coordinator and he's maybe pulling something from Saleh, maybe pulling something, you know, from where he was at before. Like, yeah, he could be pulling things from here and there, but the structure of the defense is what it is, right? Like,
right.
They're a four down team. They normally rush four. That's all they rush. Every now and again, a pressure will come in. They play cover three behind it, and that's, and that's what it is. Like, and I don't think that he's going to give anything away if they show some things in preseason. If anything, it gives Philly more to prepare for, which I always think if you give a team more to prepare for, there's more for guys to think about, to worry about. The quarterbacks are looking for different coverages where maybe there is – it's not even going to be there. You can throw some wrenches to teams that you're going to play week one by showing some things in the preseason that you may not even do. But, hey, you put it on tape. Now they got to prepare for it. So, if anything, I hope they show a little bit more so Philly's guessing at what they could potentially do week one. That is the best thing about having a new coordinator. No one has any idea what he's going to do week one. And I always found that week one the most stressful, because I have no idea what this pass rusher is going to do.
Right.
I have no idea how he's come into the season and the offseason. Sure, I saw him take five snaps during the preseason, but what does that really tell me? Not much. So, to me, I hope he shows a little bit and makes Philly a little uneasy in how they're preparing for this new defense and new scheme.
So it's not an ideal apples-to-apples comparison, and it's really not ideal because neither of you were here. Tausch, they had not re-signed you yet, so you weren't in training camp in 09. And Brian, you weren't here yet. You were still playing for the Hawkeyes. But when they hired Dom Capers, your point about this being kind of a defense where people are where they are and it's not exotic in its blitzes or in its lining up of players is a really good point, because Dom Capers' scheme was exotic, right? Fire zone blitzes and everything. They had to get that work in, and they really wanted to do it against opponents. So McCarthy allowed Dom to run his stuff in preseason, even though it meant it was going to be on film, because they felt it was more valuable to get their guys doing it in game situations, and the downside of their upcoming opponent seeing some of it was not that big.
Is that what LaFleur is going to do?
That's the question, and it's a great question, Tausch. To Brian's point, I don't think this scheme is predicated on the same level of exoticness that Dom's was, so maybe you don't have to show the things that you don't want to show. But again, to me, and Brian, you're the one who has prepared for this defense or been on a team that played a version of this defense, you still need reps at it. And game reps are more valuable than going in practice reps, because they don't know what's coming. So I do think that that is one of the really interesting questions with a, and it's not, let's remember too, from going from Dom to Mike Pettine and Mike Pettine to Joe Barry, while they had their own versions, it was still a 3-4 concept base defense. And this is now a 4-3. So I don't care if they're in 4-2-5 most of the time. It is still, there are different principles than what they've been doing. So, again, my question to the guys that actually played in the league is, as a player, do you want to run these things in a game so you feel like you have a better idea what the hell you're doing?
You do, and you, again, I think the big thing is, if I'm a coach, I want to make sure my guys are bought in. And everybody will say all the right things, but you buy in by having success and by having an understanding of why you're doing what you're doing. And if you get all of that stuff accomplished, I don't necessarily – I mean, Larry Bechtel, RIP, would always tell us, I don't give a rip if they know what's coming. And, you know, to a certain extent, I understood the premise of it, but I did. Like, I didn't want a safety down and then another linebacker down. Right. Well, we don't have anybody to block that guy. So, yeah, let's not just run power 150 times. Let's maybe run a power BIM the other way, because everybody thinks this is coming. It makes your job easier. But the basic premise of it is, yes, you want to have your guys 100% confident they know what they're doing. And especially in practice, you want Jordan Love to see all this. And then you want to see how it is done by your guys, because just because you call blitzes from the safeties and from linebackers, maybe some of these guys aren't as good as other guys are. And right, you find that out in practice, and maybe when you're calling that strong dog or something like that, maybe, oh, I'm going to have McDuffie over here, and you find out who's good at stuff so that you can start repping it, because that's how you get better.
All right, Brian. We'll let you get back to work. Are you going to do like the Hulk Hogan, like tear your shirts off as you go out to work the fields, or is your exit just going to be a little less dramatic?
A little less dramatic. You know, I don't like buying new clothes, so like I don't want to ruin a perfectly good shirt for the sake of it. So I'm just gonna go about business as usual. And
all right, Blue, before we let you go,
what do you got?
Is Jordan Love under center practicing with a new contract when Jason and I are up there Monday?
I think he's practicing. I don't think he has a new contract.
Bam. There we go.
All right. We will see if that turns out to be the case. Brian, you'll be thrilled to know that we have an early softball game tonight, so I can't do the Homer Hour. I will be joining you and Homer tomorrow when you're on again, so Homer can take that segment off. Great to see you. Good luck on the farm, and I'll talk to you down the road, buddy. Thanks.
All right, guys, take it easy.
That is Brian Bulaga, Iowa. The 10 o'clock hour will start around 10:19, so stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.